Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Well, I am excited about this new year, and new years are always a time of new beginnings. It's a great refresher for our hearts and our schedules and our outlooks, all of those things. It's also a time to remind ourselves of our vision. You know, as a church, our vision is always going to be tied to the Great Commission, to that calling that God has placed upon our lives as believers, to go into all the world, to proclaim the gospel, to teach people about Jesus, that they might come to faith in Christ, that they might become His followers. That's what we want to be about as a church. And as we begin 2022, we're going to be talking about a lot of things that have to do with reaching people, but we're going to talk specifically about the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to spend some time this year talking about the Spirit. Specifically, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I love farm-to-table restaurants. There's a place in Washington, D.C. that I love to eat. It's called Founding Farmers, and it's a farm-to-table. And they list everything on the menu. They'll tell you where it came from. All the ingredients come from farms that are somewhere right around the Washington, D.C. area. Now, there's a phrase that we think of when we talk about farm-to-table restaurants, and that phrase is locally grown. They'll say that this meat or these vegetables were locally grown. They'll talk about how this honey came from a local farm. We like organic produce to be locally grown. And it's not just food that is locally grown, but actually, as believers, you are as well. And the Bible teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. So we're starting a new series today called Locally Grown, Living Out God's Character. Now today I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 is where we're going to be today. Now in 2 weeks we're going to really dig into being locally grown, to the fruit of the Spirit. But to understand the fruit, you must understand the Spirit. And so I want us to spend the next 2 Sundays thinking about the Holy Spirit of God. And that is so good for us to do right here at the start of this new year, right here at the start of 2022. And that is because the Holy Spirit is critical to spiritual growth. You cannot grow spiritually apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, you need to understand more about the Holy Spirit. The fact is, many people are afraid of that topic. They're afraid of the topic of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit seems kind of mysterious to them. Now, granted, there are aspects of the Holy Spirit that are kind of hard to understand at times. The Holy Spirit gets blamed for all sorts of crazy things that happen in churches. At the same time, the Holy Spirit doesn't get credit for things that He has done. Now, of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the least known. But what we must realize is that the Holy Spirit is God. And that means the Holy Spirit knows you and He loves you and the Holy Spirit wants the best for you. It means that the Holy Spirit has given Himself for you. Now, many religions today believe in God. But Jesus is where Christianity separates itself from the other religions. The Holy Spirit is often where denominations begin to separate within Christianity. But the Holy Spirit is not a separating force. He is one who brings unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 speaks of the unity of the Spirit. So bad theology of man does not change the reality of God. So it's important for us to understand, to study, to listen to, and to love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as I said, is that source of spiritual growth in our life. And as we're going to see, the Holy Spirit is the source of fruit in our life. To maximize the fact that you are locally grown as a believer, you need the Holy Spirit at work in you. Now, in Jesus, God became flesh. And through the Holy Spirit, God lives in you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. But today, all of that can change. And as we understand more about the Holy Spirit, you'll understand why you cannot have salvation apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, today I want to answer two questions. Here are the questions. Who is the Holy Spirit, and what does the Holy Spirit do? Next week, we're going to get into being filled by the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. But we want to answer these two questions today. And I want to tell you something right now. If you didn't bring your seatbelt with you, you should have brought your seatbelt with you, because we're going to take off. As the Apostle Paul said, we're going to put the pedal to the metal right here. And we are going to dig into these questions. And I'm going to talk kind of quickly today. So if you're taking notes, be sure and write rather quickly as well. So here's our first question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus is sitting with his disciples here in our text today, and he is instructing them there at that Last Supper. It's just hours before his death, and he is giving them key information. Everything he says is critical for the future, and he covers a range of topics, but the one that is probably the most important that he's going to cover is the coming of the Holy Spirit, not the birth of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and God is eternal. The Holy Spirit eternally existed before this night with the disciples in our text, and the Holy Spirit will eternally exist forever and ever and ever. But Jesus, in our passage, is teaching them, and he has lots to say about the Holy Spirit that night. I want us to look at one section. If you look in verse 5 of chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 5, Jesus says, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." We're going to let these verses here today guide our thoughts. But there is much to be said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, so we can't cover all of it. But I want to give you some highlights today that will help you from this passage to help you form your thoughts a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit is an actual person. Many people think of the Holy Spirit as some kind of a force, you know, like a spiritual Christianized version of "May the Force be with you." But the Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a person. Now, what makes a person? Well, it's intellect, will, and emotion. And the Holy Spirit possesses all of those things. He's not some lifeless force that is out there like some science fiction movie, but he is a real person. The Bible tells us that he knows with his mind, that is intellect. The Holy Spirit acts with purpose, that is will. And the Bible tells us, for example, that he can be grieved, that is emotion. Those are the things of a person, and he relates as a person to other persons. In verse 8, he tells us there that he will convict the world. In verse 13, he tells us that he will guide you, and he will speak only what he hears. Verse 15, the Spirit will take. He exhibits the actions of a person. He guides, he convicts, he works miracles. He receives ascriptions that would be given to a person to be obeyed, not to grieve him, that he could be insulted. The Holy Spirit of God is the person of God. So don't get fooled into thinking that he is not. I like what A.B. Simpson writes in his book, A Larger Than Christian Life. He says this, it is all connected with a living person. We're not filled with an influence. We're not filled with a sensation. We're not filled with a set of ideas and truths. We're not filled with a blessing, but we're filled with a person. This is very strange and striking. It's wholly different than all the other teachings. Human systems of philosophy and religion all deal mainly with intellectual truths, moral conditions, or external acts. Greek philosophy was a system of ideas. Confucianism is a system of morals. Judaism is a system of laws and ceremonies. Christianity all centers in a living person, and its very essence is the indwelling life of Christ Himself. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. What a wonderful truth from God's Word. Here's something else that we can say about who He is. The Holy Spirit is God. I've said that several times already, but I want to just emphasize that. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. In verse 7, He's called the Counselor. In verse 13, He's called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. Now hear this. The Holy Spirit is not the bronze medalist of the Trinity. He is just as the Father and just as the Son are both God, so is the Holy Spirit. He's referred to as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus in the Bible. And His attributes speak of His deity. The Bible talks about His omniscience and Him being omnipresent and Him being omnipotent. The Spirit caused the virgin birth. The Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture. He was involved in creation. He is equal with God, one with God, distinct in person. And by virtue of the name that we call Him, He is unique. He is the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. And He is totally God. Therefore, He is separate from sin. He is unlike us in that He is holy and perfect, and yet He loves us. So clearly, the Holy Spirit is God. Now, I want to spend the remainder of the message talking about what does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? Look in verse 7, if you would. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. The Holy Spirit of God has been sent by the Father after Jesus left. As God in the flesh ascended, that is Jesus ascended into heaven, shortly thereafter, God in the Spirit descended in Acts chapter 2. And He came on a mission with work to do, and that mission continues as does His work. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 17, that the world cannot accept the Spirit. It doesn't see Him or doesn't know Him, but we know Him because of the work that He has done in us. And that's what we want to look at. Now, next week, we're going to talk more about how the Holy Spirit lives in us and how we live out the Holy Spirit in our lives. But today, I want to talk about His work. I can't list all the work of the Holy Spirit, but I want to give you some of the major works of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer that's going to provide a framework for you in understanding more about the Spirit of God. Here's the first one. He gives life. The Spirit gives life. Now, before you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you were spiritually dead in your sin. And Christ died to give us life. And it is that Spirit of God that gives us that life. John chapter 6, verse 63, the Spirit gives life, the Bible says. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us this new life or regenerates us, as we often say. He gives us the second birth or the new birth, or we are born again, as Jesus said. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and He says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. God saves us, and it is the Spirit of God that gives us that new life. Titus chapter 3, Verse 5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. If you have been born again, that is, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have been given life personally. You've been given life by the Holy Spirit. Here's the second. He places us. He places us. This is often referred to as the baptism of the Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Spirit is often misinterpreted and misunderstood. To be baptized by the Spirit of God doesn't mean that you obtain some kind of supernatural power, but it means that the Spirit places you into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says that, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body." The baptism of the Spirit places us in Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen multiple times. When you are placed in Christ, you are baptized in the Spirit of Christ. Now, you have the Holy Spirit. And you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give you a little bit here and a little bit there. You have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. He takes up permanent residence in your life, in your heart, once and for all at the point of salvation. And it is for all believers, not just a select few. We don't have to seek it. We don't have to try to achieve it. It is given to us by the Spirit of God at salvation. It is positional, placing us in the body of Christ. Well, next, he seals us. He seals us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Now, what does it mean to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? So a seal was often a signet ring of a king that would be impressed in wax. And that ring signified security and ownership and authenticity and preservation. And the picture for you as a believer is clear. You have the seal of the Holy Spirit on your life. You do not belong to yourself once you come to faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Now, we talk a great deal in our culture today about my rights. But believers must remember that our rights have died. We belong to one who has died for us. And the Holy Spirit has sealed us. That showed us that we are authentically owned by God for his glory. Now remember, you cannot break that seal. You cannot undo that seal. You cannot loose that seal. We talked about that at the end of our series on 1 John back in the fall. But the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing your salvation. And it is God's guarantee, not yours. Now that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we don't sin. But that's why there is another work of the Holy Spirit that we want to see, and that is he convicts us. He convicts us. Look in verse 8 of our text. "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me." The Holy Spirit reveals to people like you and me the awful nature of our sin. And he brings a righteous guilt that is designed to drive people back to God. There is certainly in our culture today an unhealthy guilt. But there is a righteous guilt that is given by God. And we should not disparage that. It is the guilt that brings people to the realization that they are sinners. Not so that God can make us feel bad, but in order that we might be convicted of our sin, that we might turn to our Savior. That is how salvation comes about. We're convicted of our sinful state, that we need a Savior. The Spirit of God does that in our life, to look at our lives and to see our unrighteousness like a filthy rag. All our righteous attempts to be good are never good enough, that we need a Savior. We need to be saved. And so the Holy Spirit convicts people to turn to Christ for salvation. The Spirit convicts us to turn back to Christ, even as believers, when we've walked away in sin. What a great gift we have from God, and that is the conviction of sin. We don't think of that as a gift, but that is a gift that God has given to us as believers. We're convicted, and we turn our lives back to God. Here's the next work of the Holy Spirit. He makes us more like Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He makes us more like Jesus. Now, there's a fancy word we use for that, and that word is sanctification. Sanctification. In Romans 15, 16, and 1 Peter 1, 2, and 2 Thessalonians, they all speak of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is constantly at work in us, convicting us of sin, showing us where we have missed the target, where we've missed the mark, but not just to be judgmental and be mean, but the Spirit is constantly trying to make you more like Jesus. And that is the process of working out sin in our life, getting it out of our life, infusing our life with holiness. That is what sanctification is all about. And we are called to be set apart. We're called to be cleansed by the Spirit of God. We're called to walk in holiness. The Bible says we were dead in sin. We're given life in the Spirit. And even though we still sin, the Spirit is at work in us, trying to call us, convict us, call us back to righteousness, to make us more like Jesus. All members of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all involved in the sanctification process. But the Spirit is the prominent agent in that progressive sanctification in our lives. Well, next, He fills us. He fills us. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is often misunderstood. So next week, we're going to talk about it. Because to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you need the filling of the Spirit in your life. But I wanted to include it in this list, even though we're going to talk about it next week. I wanted it to be in that list so you have it all together with you and you can see the work of the Holy Spirit. So be here with us next week. So next, I want us to see that He guides us. He guides us. Look again in verse 13. It says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. What a great verse that is. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, guiding people. And the Spirit of God leads the children of God. And He'll lead your life as well. He's going to lead you through His Word, reading His Word. He's going to lead you through prayer. He's going to guide you through His inner witness, that inner witness within you, knowing in your heart what is the right thing to do, what is the right pathway to follow. He's going to guide you through wise counsel. As people give you words of wisdom, the Spirit is going to lead in those moments. He's going to guide you through circumstances. He's going to guide you through His church. But His divine goal is always, always to lead you in the will of God. And so you praying in your personal prayer life, praying for the Spirit's guidance in your life is a good thing. So ask the Holy Spirit to guide your life toward the things of God, toward the will of God. You want to know the will of God? Ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you toward the will of God. All right, next, He unifies us. He unifies us. The early church in the book of Acts was marked with unity. And that unity comes through the Spirit of God. Jesus prayed for that in John chapter 17. He prayed that his people would be unified. And we see that lived out in the church. Ephesians 4:3, I referenced it earlier. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When you see unity in a church, you know that that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you see a church that is divided, you know that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. And I am so grateful for the unity that we have within our church. That's why we as a church, we have bonded together to jealously guard the unity of this church. And if someone tries to divide this church, we know that is not the work of the Spirit of God. It is a dangerous position for a person to be seeking to divide a church. Because when you do, you are working against the Holy Spirit. Well, next we see he enlightens our mind. I told you, you got to put your seatbelt on today. He enlightens our mind. You ever wondered how the disciples remembered all the things that Jesus said that we have in our Gospels? How did that happen? Listen to John chapter 14, verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit provided for those disciples remembrances of what Jesus said. He enlightened their minds. And today, the Spirit enlightens our minds to understand the Word of God. It helps us to grasp and comprehend, to interpret and to apply the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. What a great passage that is. The Spirit illuminates our minds to the deep things of God. He helps us to understand the mind of Christ and the Word of God. Well, next, the Spirit gives us the character of God. The character of God. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Because God lives in us, we experience benefits from that. And one of those benefits is the fruit of the Spirit. And starting in 2 weeks, we're going to take several weeks to go week by week through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But for now, what I want you to know for our list today is that the Spirit is the character of God displayed in the life of Christ that is to mark our life as well. The Spirit also gives you a spiritual gift. At some point in the future, we'll talk more about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. There's a lot to be said about your spiritual gift. There's disagreements on certain types of gifts. There's exploitation of spiritual gifts. The Spirit gives all believers a spiritual gift, and they're good for the body of Christ, and they're to be used properly, and they bring fulfillment in the life of the believer when exercised, whether it's a gift of teaching or serving or giving or mercy or prophecy. Each gift is to be used by believers. Now, if you don't know your gift, you need to discover it. There are little tests you can take, even on our website out there, where you can learn more about your spiritual gift. But the best way to find it is to serve, to get involved, start serving somewhere, and the Spirit of God will reveal it to you. It's never used to advance yourself. The spiritual gifts are never used to advance you. They're always intended to advance the kingdom of God. If you see anybody using their spiritual gift to advance themselves, you know they're not doing it the right way. Well, finally today, the Holy Spirit empowers us for living. He empowers believers for living the Christian life. I think about the Associated Press that carried a dispatch news story. It said this: Leslie Puckett, after struggling to start his car, lifted the hood and discovered that someone had stolen the motor. You know, without the Holy Spirit of God, we're like a car without the engine. You were not designed to live the Christian life on your own power. It's impossible. But the Spirit gives you power to live out the Christian life, to live out your faith, to overcome temptation and sin, to take a stand against the devil, to have power for Christian living. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The power of the Spirit of God is what all believers need. We need Holy Spirit power in our churches, in our homes, in our lives in this new year. Some of you remember the old TV show, The Odd Couple. And you had Felix and Oscar. And you got one that's kind of this completely ungracious slob, and the other who is a perfectionist and a good cook and all of those things. Well, friends, they were an odd couple, but there is no more odd couple than you and the Holy Spirit, or me and the Holy Spirit. We are slobs living in a filthy world of sin, ungrateful and dirty. But the Spirit of God moves into our lives, and he cleans us up, and he takes care of us, and he turns our lives around, and he gives us his Spirit to live in us. So as believers, we're the odd couple, because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We're not gods, but God lives in us. And praise God that he is willing to pair up with us so that we can be locally grown day by day in him. Now, I want to ask you to bow your head right now. We've covered a lot of territory today, but we talked about how the Spirit of God works in our lives to bring us to salvation. And if you've come here today and you've never received the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, today is your day. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. It's the Spirit of God that is pulling on your heart and is calling you to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to turn from your sin and to turn to Christ. So whether you're right here in the room or you're watching online right now, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to invite you right here, right now, to say, God, I'm a sinner and I know it. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I need the Spirit of God to fill me and give me life. I need to be born again. Would you just pray that prayer right there where you are and just tell God you're a sinner and that you need Jesus as your Savior? You need the Spirit giving you life. There's some of you here today, you already know Christ as Savior, but you are under conviction in your life because of sin. That's the Holy Spirit at work right now in your life. And maybe today you want to confess your sin before the Lord and just admit to God that you're a sinner, just to say it to him again and ask him to forgive you of that sin. Maybe today has become a day of recommitment in your life. Here, as we're starting out this new year, you're recommitting your life to say, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to live by the Spirit. And I want the Spirit of God at work in and through my life. I want the fruit of the Spirit on display in my life. Maybe today has become a day of recommitment in your life. For some of you, you may need to come and join our church. Come be a part of our church family. For others of you, you may need to commit to be baptized. Maybe you have another decision you want to make. Maybe you need to pray with somebody. Maybe you don't know what you need. You just know you need to talk to someone. We want to talk to you and we want to help you. We want to encourage you. If you're here in the room today, right there in front of you, there's a card, the Connect card. I want to invite you to take that card in your hand, write your name on it. If you want to trust Christ as Savior, to receive him as your Savior and Lord, mark that box. If you want to recommit your life to Christ, if you want to be baptized, if you want to join our church, if you don't know what you need, you just need to talk to someone. Write your name on the card. If you've got a prayer need, you can write that on the card as well. And in just a moment, we're going to be dismissed. After we sing, we're going to be dismissed, and I want you to come to the pastor that is standing here at the front when this service is over. Bring that card with you, and we want to talk to you about the decision God has placed on your heart. We won't keep you long, but we want to encourage you. The Spirit of God is drawing you, is calling you. That pull, that tug you feel in your heart is the Spirit of God calling you today, and I want to invite you to say yes to Him. Take that card, write your name on it, mark that box, and after we sing in just a moment, I want you to come and bring it here. You can take it down the hall to our Connect room. We've got pastors waiting on you there as well today. But don't push the Spirit of God away. Don't grieve the Spirit, as we talked about. But instead, believe and receive the work of God in your life. What a great way to start this new year. I want to ask you to quietly stand where you are, and I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. After I pray, we're going to sing, and then you come. Bring that card with you. Make that decision that God has placed on your heart. Would you join me as we pray? Thank you, God, for the work that you are doing. Thank you for how you're moving in our lives. Lord, we've covered a lot today about the Spirit of God, but Father, I pray more than facts, we would understand the person of the Holy Spirit, and we would give the Spirit freedom to move in our lives. May our hearts and our lives be open and ready and receptive to what the Spirit wants to do. God, these are holy moments right now. These are sacred moments as people are making eternal decisions. God, give them the courage to make that decision you've placed on their heart. And God, I pray that the Spirit of God would guide them in truth and guide them to make that decision. May our hearts be open and receptive. May our hands and our lives be ready to respond to your voice today. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.